Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shkolam Daf Yud Ches. We're on the bottom of Yitzayin Mud Beis. And perhaps let's back up a bit to 14 lines from the bottom of the Amud. To the beginning of the Sugya we discussed yesterday, we began to discuss the concept of Shlomo HaMelech adding Shulchanos to the Shulchan of Moshe. He added another 10 Shulchanos into the Beis HaMikdash. He added another 10 Menorahs, as we're going to learn today, in addition to Moshe Rabbeinu's Menorah, to enhance the appearance. Perhaps it's related to what the Ramban says, that the Menorah was a conduit for Chachma. So through the Menorah, Hashem was Mashpia Chachma Torah to Klal Yisrael. So more Menorahs, the more Chachma, the more Torah. The Shulchan, the Ramban says, was a conduit for Parnasa to Klal Yisrael. That's why it had the bread placed on it. So more Shulchanos, more Parnasa, Yesh Kemach, Yesh Torah. So he added an additional 10 Shulchanos. Says the Gemara, 14 lines from the bottom. Asor Shulchanos Asa Shlomai. Shlomai added 10 tables to the table of Moshe Rabbeinu for a total of 11. He placed them in the Hechel. So five on the right and five on the left. Now, what does that mean, right and left? We assume it means as you're going into the Hechel, you have five on the right, five on the left, but that can't be. In Tamar, if you'll suggest, five on Dorim, five on Tzofin, it doesn't work. We know that Shulchan is meant to be strictly on Tzofin, in the north side of the Eichel Shenemar. It says Shulchan Titan Atzal Tzofin. So what then does the pasuk mean? Apparently they were all situated in Tzofin side of the Eichel. Rather, Ela Chamisha Mimin Shulchan Shel Moshe, VeChamisha Mismoiloi. Five on the right of Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, and five on his left. So let's say we have the Hechel here. You just lean it upward a bit. We have the Hechel. You enter over here, Mizrach. You go through till Meirav, and past that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Hechel is actually 40 amas long, 20 wide. And past the Hechel you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was 20 amas wide, 20 amas. Now we have Mizrach on the bottom, Meirav on top, and we have Tzofin and Dorim. The Shulchan had to be on the Tzofin side. So we draw an imaginary line running through the Hechel. One side is Tzofin, one side is Dorim. The Shulchan of Moshe and all the Shulchanos of Shlomi had to be situated on the Tzofin side. So you cannot say when the Pasuk speaks about five on the right and five on the left, it's referring to the entranceway. As you enter the Hechel coming from Mizrach, from east, you'll have five on your right, five on your left, because it's going to be five b'tzafin and five b'darim, which is unacceptable. Apparently, everything was in tzafin. When we speak about five on the right, five on the left, we mean five on the right of Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan and five on his left. Says the Gemara, Afal Bikain, although we had so many tables, lo yoyim masader el b'shal Moshe levad. The actual placement of Lechem HaPanim only happened on Moshe Rabbeinu's table, shenemar, es ha Shulchan, the Shulchan, Asher Olav Lechem HaPanim, which indicates that the one and only one, Moshe Rabbeinu's, contained Lechem HaPanim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Daimer, Al Kulon Adi Masadar. He can pick his choice. He can use any one of the 11 tables, Shneimar, as HaShulchanos Ve'Aleihem Lechem HaPanim, which indicates Lechem HaPanim can be placed throughout all the 11 tables. So what does the Tanakhama do with this pasuk, which sounds like they were all suitable for Lechem HaPanim? The Farshim explain, it's a reference to those tables we discussed yesterday, which were on the entranceway to the Hechel. On one, they would place the Lechem HaPanim on the way in, and on Friday, they would leave it there until Shabbos, and on the other one, on the way out, which was the gold one. So those were the tables referenced in this pasuk, the Shulchanos, which had Lechem HaPanim, but of course, on a regular basis, it was only the Shulchan Shel Moshe, which contained Lechem HaPanim. Now, what is this machlekes dependent on? Machlekes whether only Moshe's were used or the other ones were used as well. Tani, we learned in a braisa. But machlekes, in what direction those Shulchanos were placed? We know Shulchan was an arm long. Mizruch Umar of Hoyinu Sunan, David Rabbi. Rabbi says, the length of those tables, meaning the Shulchanis were situated lengthwise along the length of the Heichal, going along with the shape of the structure. That's Rabbi Shita. Rabbi Lezbe, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sofen V'Darim Hoyinu Sunan. The length of the Shulchanis were placed going Sofen to Darim, meaning along the width of the Heichal. So once again, if we have the Heichal here, we have Mizrach coming into the Heichal, Mairav is on the back, we have Tzafin to the right, Darim to the left. All the Shulchanis needed to be on the Tzafin side. I'm going to learn soon in the Gemara. They were placed beyond the halfway point, meaning on the inner half of the Heichal. The Heichal is 40 Amos long, 20 Amos into the Heichal is the halfway mark, and everything, the Shulchan and the Menorah, or the Shulchanois, Menorahs, were all placed within that inner half. So basically it leaves you a quarter, a square of a quarter, not a square, it's a rectangle, a quarter, the right back quarter of the Heichal housed all the Shulchanos, right? It had to be in the inner half, and it had to be on the top side. So that's partial. Everything was in this corner here. The question remains, how did they position the tables? We had two rows. We just explained that they had 10 Shulchanis, 5 on the right of Moshe, 5 on the left. So suppose Moshe Rabbeinu was here. You had two rows of 5 each on either side of Moshe Rabbeinu's table. The question is, shall we say Mizruch Umar of Hoyinu Sunan? That's Rabbi Shita. So they were placed lengthwise along the length of the Heichal, Mizruch Umar. So you had them situated lengthwise, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. On the other side of Moshe Rabbeinu's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They were facing east to west, in which case they all fit neatly into this corner. And that explains that sheet that we mentioned earlier, the Reis of Yehuda, that all of them potentially could have contained Lachman Panim because they were all neatly situated in this corner, which was the appropriate location for placement of the Shulchan Lechem HaPanim. So this Shita, which maintains Mizruch Umarav Hoyinu Sunan, that the Shulchanos were placed lengthwise along the length of the Heichal, so they followed within with the contour of the structure, so everything was right here in this corner and was right for Lechem HaPanim. Whereas according to Rabbi Ezra, Rabbi Shimon, Sofen V'Darim Hoyinu Sunan, the length of the Shulchanos were actually facing east to west, were actually facing north-south. So you had two rows of 5 tables each. In between you had Moshe Rabbeinu. So you had 5 on the right of Moshe, 5 on the left. But instead of being positioned along the length of the Heichal, east-west, they were north-south. So you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, going from north to south. Now since each Shulchan was how long? 2 Amos. And, as we mentioned, we have an imaginary line running through the middle of the Heichal, the north-south border, right, the divider between north and south, and the Heichal was merely 20 wide, so we have only 10 Amis to fit everything in. Now, when we have 5 tables, each one 2 Amis long, and they're lined up lengthwise, it's inevitable it's going to spill over a bit into the Darim, because each one is exactly 2, and you have them lined up. You have a little space, a drop of space between the tables, as Rashi Menachos explains. So inevitably, you're going to have to spill over a bit into the other side, in which case, the table spilling over, it's actually the first of each row, you have 2 in total, spilling a bit over and not roi for Lechem HaPanim. So that's an indicator that really all those tables were just ornamental. They're just there to serve as auxiliary tables, accessory tables, for the actual main Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. In which case, we say, apparently, those Shulchanos were not meant to contain Lechem HaPanim, which could only be in Tzafin. And that explains the other Shita, Tanakama, and the former Braisa, who maintains that only Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan contained Lechem HaPanim. So this is the way the Mefarshim explain these two Braises, how they're compatible with each other, and they're aligned with each other. Again, the question of where to place Lechem HaPanim is dependent and connected with this Braisa, which deals with the question of how they were situated, how they were positioned. If it was Mizrach HaMa'ariv, then all the tables were contained within that area and can all potentially contain the Chamapanim. But if it was situated Tzafim Darim, okay, in which case we had an inevitable spillover into Darim, that shows us that the tables were not meant to contain the Chamapanim. As the Gemara explains now, Ma'an Domar Mizrach HaMa'ariv, the Shita that maintains that the Shulchan is of Shleima were positioned their length along the length of the Heichal, and it all fit into that corner Nicha. We understand Kulhen Ru'uin L'Sheiris, they're all right to contain, to serve, to house the Lechem upon. Ma'an Domar Tzafim V'Darim, but according to the other Shita that they were situated the other way, Nim Tzulchan V'Darim M'ner B'Tzafim, in which case it's inevitable that some Shulchanis will be over in Darim. And same thing regarding the menorah, we're going to see soon there were 10 menorahs. If they were lined up the other way, Mizrach Tzafim V'Darim, it turns out that some menorahs were a bit over on Darim side, Darim Tzafim side, and not Roy for kindling. Okay, continues the Gemara. V'tani, we looked in a braisa, Shulchan hayu nosan mechatzi habayis lefnim. Where was the Shulchan position? Beyond the halfway point of the Heichal, as we just explained. So it was beyond the halfway point of the Heichal. So we have the Heichal, which is 40 Amos long. You go in to the halfway point. Beyond that, the Shulchan will be positioned. And of course, it's on the Tzafin side. And it was Beis Amos Omechzo, Klapei Tzafin, 2.5 Amos removed from that Tzafin wall. Opposite that, in Darim, you had the Menorah. What about the Mizbech Azov, which was also there? It was also situated at the halfway point of the Heichal. So he split the Heichal with an imaginary line running through the halfway point. And beyond that was the Mizbeach, but it wasn't exactly between the Shulchan and the Menorah. It was a bit pulled out. So it was sort of a rectangle. You had the Shulchan B'Tzafin, opposite the Menorah B'Darim, and a bit pulled out was the Mizbeach Hazav, but of course, everything was in the inner half of the Heichal. V'chulayin hayonasun mishlish habayis lefnim. Everything was within the third. Now we speak about a third, we are adding the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the equation as well. So the Heichal was 40 Amos long. Add 20 Amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim for a total of 60. So we're speaking about the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the Mizbech Azov being situated within, beyond halfway of the Heichal, the inner half of the Heichal. It's actually a third of the entire structure. Right? The entire structure was 60 Amos. So 20 Amos into the Heichal was really only a third of the entire structure. Beyond a third, the third point of the entire structure. As the menorahs also Shlomo HaMelech built an additional 10 menorahs. Shnemar v'yas es menorahs hazav eser k'mishpatay v'yita meichal Hashem v'yita meichal hei mi'min v'hei mi'smoil, 5 on the right, 5 on the left. And again, the same discussion. What do you mean right and left? In Tamar chamish b'tzafin v'chamish b'dor. That it was 5 on the right side of the entrance to the heichal, 5 on the left. So 5 in Tzafin, 5 in Darim, that's unacceptable. V'alayena menorah k'sheira el b'darim. Menorah was only kosher in Darim. Shnemar the menorah was opposite the shulchan and was placed on Darim. So everything must have been b'darim. What does the pasuk mean? 5 on the right, 5 on the left. All were placed b'darim. When we say right and left, we mean in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. 5 on his right, 5 on his left. But of course, they were all in Darim. Although we had 11 menorahs, the kohen would only kindle Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. Shnema menorahs hazav, the one and only menorah. So every evening they would light the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It's actually the same sheet as before. Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda. Here is spelled Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda Omer. He maintains Al Kulan Hayimavir. He had a choice. Pick your choice. Whichever one he chose, he could have used to kindle Shanema Vesamanoi Royce, Venir Sehem, Levaram, Kemishbat, Vnadir Zav Sagar. So he had a choice to kindle any one of those Menoi Royce. Continues the Pasuk, Vaperach, Vaneirois, Vamukachaim Zav, who? Michlois Zav. The Pasuk describes the Perach, the ornament, the Menoiros, the Neirois, the Malkachaim, the tools, everything was Zav, Michlois Zav. What does Michlois Zav mean? Hein Kilu? Zahave Shalom Moshe. They were so expensive. He made so many menorahs. Actually, there's a girsa that takes out the word Moshe and puts in Shlomo, which seems to be more plausible, because it was Shlomo who actually built all those menorahs, and they were machala. They depleted his entire gold supply. And kilu zahave shal Shlomo. Tani Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Asi. Haya Shlomo noitel elef kikrizov. This is how he made his 10 menorahs. He would take 1,000 kikar as a weight measurement of zav, a huge amount of gold, u'machnisam l'kur. He would put them into the smelter, into the furnace, to purify them, u'moitzion, and take them out. Achu mamidon al echad, until he had only one kikar supply of gold. So he reheated it, remelted it, repurified it from 1,000. He had only one kikar of highly concentrated pure gold. L'kayim ha-shenemar, to fulfill the pasuk, kikar zov tar asa'isa, was absolutely pure in its purest form. Tani om Rabbi Yosi, Bei Rabbi Yehuda, Masa, there was once a story of a menorah zov shasa Moshe b'midbar, regarding the menorah of zov, which Moshe Rabbeinu built in the midbar. Voisi yaseiro dinar zov, was meant to be a kikar zov, an exact amount, and it weighed a bit more, a dinar zav beyond, it was overweight. Now, the Kash Machavursi, as he says, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah was formed through a nes, right? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu threw the gold into the fire and out came a menorah. So what does the Gemara mean? It was overweight. So actually, when we look at the Gemara Menachos, it's a similar Gemara, and the Gemara there has a little bit of a different girsa, and it's referring to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps a later menorah during the days of the Chashmonaim, when they rebuilt, refashioned the menorah, it turned out to be a bit overweight, an extra dinar beyond the allowed weight. So what did they do? They put into the smelter 80 times over, and they couldn't get it to go down. It wouldn't lose any of its weight. And the kasha is, well, we just learned that Shlomo Melech had no problem reducing his gold supply, he put in 1,000, and he melted it down and concentrated it to 1. And here, they put it in 80 times, and it wouldn't lose anything. But yes, it's actually correct. It makes sense. You know why? The lo yakama birere, before it was actually purified, have a chaser sagan. Yeah, it would lose a lot by the purification process. So that was Shlomo HaMelech, who started off with a rough, impure gold supply. Min dukim al birei, but once it achieved its proper purity, such as in the case of the Beis HaMikdash here, lo chasar klum, no longer could be missing anything, meaning you melted and melted and melted, and nothing will be detracted from the amount, despite the fact that it was melted down. So we discussed the 10 shulchanos that Shlomi added, 10 menorahs. They were placed alongside Moshe Rabbeinu's. Which one would they use? Or machlokes? And we discussed the purity of the gold used, and how the gold supply of Shlomo HaMelech was depleted. Shleish also Shafar says the Mishnah with 13 shofar shaped containers, pushkas, hoyu b'mikdash. Why dafka this shape? We learned earlier, mipnei ramoyin, to prevent ramoyin deceivers from coming and taking out some money. They'll pretend that they're putting their hand in to donate, and they're going to take out some coins. So that's why it was narrow on top, wide on bottom. It was only a one-way flow of money. So we had 13. What was the point of having 13? Each one had a tag, a label, as follows. Because of a label, taklam chadet, and the mission will go through all of them. One was for the taklam chadet, the fresh coins, matzah shekels donated this year. The next one was the taklam tikkun for last year's coins. The next one had the word kidin on it, birds, because le'ol, different type of birds. Eitzim was the next one, levoina was the next one. Zov l'kaperes was the next one. So that accounted for 7. Shishal and Nadava, the final 6, were designated for Nadava. Generally, that means money directed for Keitz HaMizbeach, to take the money, buy oilos for the Mizbeach. The Mishnah will now go over all 13. The first one was called Taklin Chadatin, the new fresh Machzis HaShekels, Shabachol Shana V'Shana, every year. They would insert the Machzis HaShekel into that container, and the trusty Gizbar would empty it out, put it in the Lishka, and then eventually they would do Trumas HaLishka, as we learned in this Masecht. V'Atikin, the second container was called Taklin Atikin. What was that for? The old coins. Mishalei Yehevi Ashtakat. One missed last year as Machzis HaShekel. Shekel Shana Boy brings next year. So you have to make up for it. But it does not have the same Kedusha and designation as the fresh coins. They were called Shiyore Halishka and directed for municipal expenses. Kinen, that was the third Pushka, called Kinen Hein Teuren. Meant to purchase from it a Teuren bird, a certain species. And that's the point of that container. Anybody want to donate Teuren, put some money in there, and was directed for that purpose. The Goyzli Oila, that was the next container. Hey Bnei Yaina, used to purchase a different species of birds, the Bnei Yaina birds. Kulan Oila is the Rebbe maintains. Both these containers were for an adavis, a person committed to bringing Oila bird. That was the place he would put his money into, and of course there was no chatois involved whatsoever. Everything was donated, everything was for an oil. The Chachamim Oimim, they have a different approach. The container that had the Kinan label on it was Kinan Echad Chatas Vechad Oila. That was for the person who needed a pair of karbonis for Tumah. Suppose a Zava needed to bring karbonis, so she simply brought some money. This was a service provided by Samidosh. You put some coins in there, and we knew from this Kinan container, we take half the coins for the oila and half for the chatos. Goizle oila, the next container which was labeled Goizle oila, kulon oilois, all the content was used for oilois, nothing for chatos. According to Chachamim, we had one container designated for the mix of chatos for oila, whoever needed that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we didn't want to get involved in buying chatos. That can get complicated, as the Gemara will describe, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, both of these containers, Kinan and Goizle oila, were directed for oila use. Apparently, according to Chachamim, the donor who would put in money for his birds, he had in mind anything, whether it was this type of bird, that type of bird. There was no differentiation between the Torah and the Gozli Oila. You would take anything in that container and purchase Oilates, whether it was this type of bird, that type of bird. It was all okay. Continues the Mishnah. We had a container with a label Eitzim. What was that for? Ha'imer ha're'elai etzim. If one commits, I'm going to supply firewood for the Beis HaMikdash, he must put some money in there. Le'yifchas mishnei gzirin. Enough, which at a minimum can purchase two gzirin, two blocks of wood. That's the minimum hakravas etzim. Levoina, he commits to a levoina donation. Le'yifchas mikoymetz. He must insert enough to purchase with it a fistful of fragrance, of levoina, of some sort of besamim. Zav, that's the next container for zav, leifchas medinor zav. He must put in, at a minimum, the equivalent of a dinor zav. Shishal nadava, we have another six containers which were designated l'nadava. What's that? Nadava mayu oisimba. What would they do with the content of those containers? Loichem ba'oilois, they purchase oilois, habarsa l'shem, flesh brought on the mizbeach, burnt as an oila, v'oiris l'kehan, and the hides given to the kehan. Ze midrash dorash yodakain gadol. Yodakain gadol offered the following drasha as a source that we have the leftover of the chatas and the asham, etc., directed to purchase oilos for keitz hamizbeach, in which case the basar goes lashem and the oiros lekehan. Asham hu asham asham lashem. This fellow did an avera, brings the asham to Hashem. This is an asham because he did a ashaim, he did a chet ashem, that's the pashat pshat in the pasuk. But the drasha goes as follows. Really, it seems like it's a contradiction. It's asham who? Who eats a carbon asham? Kohanim eat it. Then we say asham lashem, it's for Hashem, not for the kohanim. So we have a contradictory pasuk here. And the drasha is as follows. No, reconcile the difference like this. They're both true. We're not speaking about the original carbon asham. Of course, that is eaten by kohanim. Rather, we're speaking, in the drush at least, we're referring to the leftover money. Suppose a person designated $100 to buy his chatos, buy his asham, and he has some leftover money. That's moisher, that goes on a davar. Any money which comes from chatas and asham, it's leftover chatas and asham money. What do you do with that money? You purchase oilos. Oilos ketel mizbeach, abashal Hashem. For the kehanim, the flesh goes in the mizbeach, and he hides to the kehanim. Nimtzu, shnei ksuvin kayamin. In that case, both parts of the pasuk work out. Asham Lashem, right, that's the flesh on the mizbeach, v'asham l'kayin, the oir to the kayin. V'aymer, we have another pasuk which provides the same halacha, kesef asham, v'kesef chatzos, lo yuva beis Hashem, l'kun hanem yu. Your chatzos and asham money don't bring to Hashem, bring it to the kehanim. What does that mean? Chatzos and asham goes to the beis hamikdash. The answer is, the pasuk is referring to the leftover monies of chatzos and asham. Use it for something which is serving both the Mizbeach and also the Kehanim. The Kehanim, you, in reference to the Oilois, the hides of these Karbonis, Oilois of Kayet HaMizbeach. Tanya Om Rabbi Yudah, Lo Yoyeh Shefa Shal Kinim B'Yushalayim. Getting back to the bird containers, the pushkas, where you would insert your money for the purpose of purchasing birds. Says Rabbi Yudah, no, there were no Shefars servicing the Kinim, the Chatas and Oilapir. Why? We're concerned about mix-ups. Why? Maybe one of the donors, one of the women donors, who needed a chatas and oila, will pass away on that day. And we know that a chatas shemesu ba'la is lemisa azla, because a chatas is so connected, intricately connected to the owner. Meant to do a kapara for him. It's unlike a oila and a shlama, which can be brought even la chamisa. But a chatas is connected, very much related and linked to the owner. If the owner dies, the chatas is pasul. Likewise, the money cannot be used any longer. So we're concerned, perhaps one of the donors of this chatas and oila pira birds will pass away on that day. And it'll turn out that we have some pasul money in there. We have a big container, lots of coins, and some coins belong to an Isha who passed away today. You don't know where that money is. You don't know which one's possible. You're getting yourself into trouble by allowing for that. Therefore, Rabbi Yudah maintains, we had no arrangement for Chatas birds. Rather, both containers were for donations for oilis. Says the Gemara, that poses a concern about Tani. We learned to the Brisa. Ha'isha she'amra. Harei alaikan. Isha committed to bring a pair, a Chatas v'oila, on account of a tumah. Mevi'a d'meikan. Suppose she didn't get around to buying a bird. She brings money, the equivalent of a kan. She inserts it into the container. This was a service provided in the Beis Hamikdash. And rest assured, that night, she can have her korbanos. She has no concern. Perhaps the kohen was lazy and didn't actually carry out his mission, his job, and the money is perhaps still sitting in the container. No, we're not concerned. Why? Says the Korban Eid on the top line here. Says the Korban Eid, the chazaka al bezin shel kohanim she'einam oimdim misham at sheyichlu kol moiz shelois ha'shofar. We know the kohanim were on top of things. They made sure that the day wasn't over until all monies were taken care of. So that these fellows who are not yet completely tar won't go ahead and engage in kachim prematurely. Therefore, they made sure all purchases were done, same day service, and therefore that night she can go and have kachim. That's number one. Number two, says the Braisa in the second line. The coin should not be concerned. I'll say, well, what am I getting involved in problems? I'm going to bring all the Karbonis here, using this money, perhaps is some Dmei Chatos Meisa, Merovas Ben. Perhaps it's some money relating to a Chatas HaMeisa, which was donated by an Isha who passed away. And the carbon, or in this case, the money designated for a Chatas is Chatos HaMeisa. It's meant to be die, meaning if it's a carbon, you have a die. If it's money, you're meant to throw into Yam HaMelech. In any case, it's Pasul V'Akrava. Says the Gemara, don't worry about it. There's no such concern. We know there's a mission in Gittin. A husband sends a get from far away. We're not concerned, perhaps he passed away in the interim. There's a cheskas chai, a person who was alive. We assume that status and situation continues until we verify otherwise. Same thing here. Unless we know with certainty that an isha passes away, we assume between today and tonight nothing happened. the Kohen can go ahead and be makriv all those birds with confidence. And we don't find Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing. We don't find any concern on account of Rabbi Yehuda. So here's not concern that perhaps somebody passes away. If that's the case, why is he concerned now, Mishnah? He doesn't allow for donating chatas birds for concern that the owner might pass away. And over here is not concern. Says the Gemara, big difference. Ki kamrinan bechatoiz shemeso balein vadai. You're right. When there's a suffix, when there's an uncertainty, yeah, everybody applies a chazaka. Let's assume everything's okay, everyone's safe and sound. The Rabbi Yehuda, now Mishnah, is concerned, is speaking when we know there was a chatoi shemeso balein vadai. The word went out today that Mrs. Plenius passed away today. And she was a donor into this container. It was her money put in today. And she passed away vadai. We know with certainty that one of the owners passed away. Now, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're running into trouble. So why get involved? Don't allow for it. Don't make an arrangement for chatois, for concern that perhaps it may happen that an Isha will have been found to pass away today. And now you have money in there, which is chatois amesis. Apparently the Rabban are concerned, as we're going to see in a minute. But the one has another kasha. Vi amrinan. True. There's a concern. If you know, if you found that an Isha died today, then some money in there is possible. Fine. But we have a solution to that. Nivrer dalet zuzi. Finish the binara. Take 4 coins, the equivalent of the 2 birds, and just toss them into the river. Vidach lishtru, and the rest is mutter. Choose some coins and designate it to that donor who passed away, and everything is okay. So should be this concerned. Amrina says, Zimara be'alma, but haven't we said elsewhere? Rabbi Yehuda Leslie Breira. He doesn't hold a Breira. He can't go ahead and do something now and say, well, it's been determined retroactively that this is her money. He can't do it. I have no right to do that. Ain't Breira. We don't apply the concept of later verification as a retroactive revelation. We don't do that according to Rabbi Yehuda. So in a case where we know with certainty that somebody passed away, we ran into trouble now. We have money in there, which is possible. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow for this arrangement. But of course, if it should happen that an Isha did donate Chatas money and we don't know that she passed away, then of course we apply Chazaka, we assume that everything is status quo. Now apparently the Rabbanan, who do allow for this arrangement, right? They maintain that one of the containers was designated for Chatas and Oila. Right, the chatas and oila, pair of birds. Why aren't they concerned about this, this Isha dying? And then, once that happens, then you're in trouble. So either they're not concerned about that eventuality, or they hold a breira. Even if it happens, at worst case, what can you do? Take 4 coins and say this has been designated for that Isha. This will be tossed into Yam HaMelech, and the rest is mut. Now the tvayas akasha. Breira? Breira means you have an unfinished procedure. The classic case of Breira is by Erev. You place an Erev on one side of the city, an Erev Tchumen on the other side to allow it to go past your Tchum. And you condition it. You say, well, I don't know where the Chacham is going to be coming from. If he comes from this side, I want the Erev on this side of the city to be activated. If he comes on the other side, I want that one to be activated. So it's a pending, it's a procedure which had not yet been confirmed. It's mitla talivilimit, and it's conditioned upon a later development. That's called breira. She did it. Says yesh breira holds. Yeah, you can do that. Later on, you'll finish the procedure. You'll confirm it retroactively. But that's because it was an unfinished process. It was a pending erev. Later on, you'll decide. Well, this is the erev I wanted yesterday. But here, it's a different story. You have money belonging to Rachel in this mix. Right? She was the one who put it in here. It's in this mix. Now she passes away. What right do you have to take 4 coins, 4 random coins, unidentified coins, and say, this is Rachel's? It's not like Erev, where it's an unfinished process awaiting confirmation. Here it was her money. You can't just decide, well, this happens to be her money. This isn't necessarily hers. How do you know? So Tosfos actually brings a teretz. He says, you know, really the kasha is, let's say you have something which is aser in a mix. Can you just take something out and say, well, that's the iser? You don't know where the iser is. Can you take anything and say, well, this is the iser? You have 10 pieces of bread. One of them was aser, fell into the rest. You can just take any one and say, this is the iser. So why is this different? Says Tosfos. Difference is as follows. Here, when she donated her money, it was mutter. So when the mix, the tarivis, was created, there was no iser element present whatsoever. Therefore, says Tosfos, you can choose any form and say, well, this has been designated as her thing. I'm not sure exactly what this for is, but he makes that distinction. As opposed to where you have something which is absolutely usher, you have a slice of bread which is usher, falling into the mix, it's been usher to begin with, before it fell in. Now the Tarevis has now acquired a new status. A Tarevis iser, on account of that iser element contained therein, you have no right to undo that status by just pulling out anyone. As opposed to the money case, where it was muta when it fell in. So the Tarevis was created behater. In which case, you just take a couple and say, this is on account of her money, and the rest remains mutter. That's how he says teretz. Ritzvah disagrees, and he learns very partially. He says, there's no difference between falling in be'isr, falling in be'heter. Rather, the pshat nagmar is like this. How can we allow this type of breira? He says, we're not speaking after the fact. What the gemara meant was like this. That initially speaking, they're going to post a notice on that container. Dear Isha, when you put your money in here, have in mind, you're putting it into the communal fund here, and you're allowing us to designate any coins for whomever we want. So it's preconditioned, built into the system initially. Oh, now you can do it. That's the Ritva's Pshat Na'ukmar. So this way, if she passes away, you can take any form and say, well, this is her money, and the rest is mutter. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of even this type of breira, and therefore he says, don't make arrangements which will create confusion. Continues the Gemara, we discussed now, Mishnah, a person could donate Eitzim, going to put in some money in the Eitzim container for the purpose of purchasing blocks of wood. So when he says Harelei Eitzim, at a minimum, he must donate 2 blocks of wood. What about if he says eitz, lashon yacht? Rabbi Yose Beiroi bun Omar, he said, Rabbo bar mamel boy. He asked as follows, Omar harelai eitz. What happens then? Maybe gizr echad, 1 block is enough. What's the chiddush? That each block of wood can be viewed independently. Although on the base of Middush, they used to bring 2 blocks of wood by Tomash ben Abai. But technically each one is a separate mitzvah, a separate carbon. This way, if a person decides to give one, he can give one. Omer blazer masnisa omer ken. We have a right to this effect from the following Mishnah and Yuma. To what? That shezeh carbon fnei atzmai, shezeh carbon fnei atzmai. Each block of wood can be viewed independently as a separate carbon. From which Mishnah I'm going to prove it. Gehai de tanina taman, as we learned in the Mishnah and Yuma. The Mishnah describes the 11 kohanim who were involved in being makriv the Tamid Shabin Abayim. So 9 Kohanim would actually transport the limbs to the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah continues, we have another 2 Kohanim. Shnayim biyadam, shnei gizrei eitzim. Each one had a block of wood. The next 4 lines the Vilna Gaon takes out. So this is the Raya. What's the Raya? Because unlike the carbon Tamid, which was actually brought on the Mizbeach by 1 kohen, meaning they were transported to the Mizbeach by 9, but the actual placement on the fire was done by 1 kohen, because it's all one. It's one behemoth, 1 carbon. When it comes to the Eitzim, the Pasuk says, V'orchu ha-kohanim Eitzim l'shem ram tu kohanim. Each one had a block of wood and placed it on the Mizbeach, placed it on the fire. Apparently, each one was a separate carbon, and therefore, it allows for one to donate just one as his donation. Continues the Gemara. What would be the size of these blocks? Shuman Levi Amar. Oivion Amma. Va'ama Sechekes. Va'arkan. Va'ama Geduma. have a block of wood. So the length and the width had to be an amma, had to be a square. We're going to learn soon because it had to fit onto the mokei marocha of the mizbeach, which was only an amma by amma. But the height, the thickness, could have been more, could have been a amma sechekes. What does amma sechekes mean? We learned this in Erevin. There are different ways of mentioning measuring an amma. Amma consisted of, let's say, six tvachim, which is a fistful, but the fist width could have been measured loosely, generously, fingers lying loosely side by side. That's a chekes. Like one who's in a good mood, he's smiling. So it's extending oneself, it's generous. So amma sechekes means a smiling amma, which the Rashba says actually equaled a half an etzba more, a total of half an etzba more than a small size amma, which is called an amma itzeves, a sad amma, a constricted amma, tightly fisted amma. So Shmuel Levi says, when it comes to the width, the ayruch, the rechav of this block of wood, had to be an exact amma, a small size amma, to fit on the mizbeach, but the height could have been a bit more, a more generous amma. Rabbi Chuni, Hashem Rabbi Ami, came in turtani. No, it had to be even on all sides, like a perfect square. Turtani is like a scale, it had to be perfectly scaled. Now, why do all agree that when it comes to the width and the length, it had to be exactly an amma? And a small amma. Amar Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Fishal Loyhaya Mokim Hamarocha El Amal Amma. Since the Mokim Marocha Mizbech was only one by one amma, Lefichach Loyhaya Boy El Amma Geduma. That's why the block of wood couldn't be more than an amma geduma, than a small size amma. V'tani Ken, we actually learned likewise in the Braisa, that the Mokim Marocha where the fire was merely an amma square. Now this Braisa will describe the Mizbech constructed by Moshe Rabbeinu the Midbar, which was a total of 5 amas by 5 amas, 5 amas square. We know the Shlomo Melech's table was actually, the Mizbeach was actually bigger. But he was speaking about the 5 by 5 amas of Moshe Rabbeinu. But that was the perimeter. Then it gradually narrowed as it went up. Amah HaYisoid, the bottom was the base, the Yisoid, so we have an amah going in on either side. So now we're only left with a 4 by 4. Amah Soiviv, the next one was the ramp. Amma Karche with the walking space on top. Amma Kronis the corners. And leaves you with only one by one. Amma Rocha for the placement of the wood, of the fire, of the korbanis. Now the Rambam, interesting, says that even L'doiris, later on, you can only donate this type of wood, this block of an Amma and Amma. And the Farshim explained, apparently once it's been established as that being the proper size of a piece of wood, as in the Midbar, that became the din, that's the halacha, the shir, even for future generations, despite the fact that the Mizbeach was larger in size and could technically accommodate more. Levoina Livchas Mikoimes, Misha says, if one donates some coins to purchase Levoina, at a minimum he has to provide for a fistful of Levoina. How do we know? Nemar Kan Azakara. The pasuk by Levoina says that the Levoina placed with the Mincha will be askara l'Hashem, and remembrance for Hashem. Now, although we're speaking about Levoina brought together with a mincha, the Taklan Chalitin points out that there's an extra word in the pasuk. It says, "Ves kol ha-Levoina," all the Levoina. So he says, "Hainu kol shem aktoris Levoina af abov ne'atzma." The pasuk is evidently adding and including also independently brought Levoina, donated Levoina, and the pasuk refers to it as azakara, a remembrance to Hashem. What exactly is that? What amount is needed to provide askara? So we use Gzeirah Shavah. Ne'emar kan askara. V'ne'emar lahalan askara. Elsewhere by Lechem HaPanim, we have the word askara. Ma askara omer lahalan. Meloi koimes. Just as by Lechem HaPanim. We know aside from the bread, there were two mezichei levoina, two spoons of levoina, each one containing a koimes of levoina. So just as askara there, which is a reference to the koimes of levoina, is referring to a shir koimetz, afaskara murkan, malay koimetz. Likewise, askara over here by Levoina separately is a reference to a shir koimetz. At a minimum, you must donate that amount. Ima askara amur lahalam, shnei koimetz. And if that's the case, connecting to Lechem HaPanim, keep in mind, there's a double portion of Levoina there. Two spoons of Levoina, two koimetz. Afaskara hamurkan shnei koimetz. Perhaps here as well, you have to have a double share of koimetz. You can't just donate one koimetz of Levoina. Om Rabbi Ila. Keep in mind that Lechem HaPanim is not really the source, the root of this concept. Lechem Aponim itself derived from where? From Minchas Chote. The Mincha Dariya. The Tzair will bring when he's poor. And the Pasuk there speaks about the Kohen scooping out a koimetz of the Minchas, of the Tzairus. And the Pasuk refers to it as Askara. It is from there that we learn that Askara equals a koimetz. And we learn from there to Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim has the word Askara. Evidently Askara is a koimetz as well. And we bring that to here, to Levoina. Since Askara, referring to the Levoina of Lechem Aponim, is a koimetz, the Askara in reference to general Levoina is also a koimetz. So it's a chain reaction. Source is Minchas Chote. We apply that to Lechem Aponim's Levoina and to plain Levoina. So what was your kasha? For coming from Lechem Aponim, a double dose Levoina is required. No. Lechem Aponim in itself derives from Minchas Chote. And over there it was just a single koimetz. Likewise here, if you donate Levoina, a single koimetz is enough. Once we learn from Minchas Chote, we're going to have two more halachas. Ma'ala halan koimetz ha'chaser pasal. Just as by Minchas Chote. If it's a missing koimetz, if it's missing a bit, it's pasal. You can't have a half a koimetz and then another one and a half to make up for it. Koimetz is a designated amount. It's a very specific amount. It needs to be all one unit. A unit of a koimetz amount. Afkan koimetz ha'chaser pasal. Likewise, when one donates Levoina, if it's missing from this koimetz amount, it's possible. You can't say, well, I'll donate half a koimetz and then another one and a half. Koimetz is an absolute shir. Another halacha we learn from the Amr Rabbi Yosef, Milsa, the Rabbi Ila Amra. The words of Rabbi Ila, meaning the fact that we learn the concept that a levoina has to be a koimetz from Minchas Chote, Amra, that produces the following halacha as well. Hamas Nadav Levoina. If one donates for Levoina, we need a koimetz. The question is, which koimetz is used to measure Levoina? My koimetz, the donor, it's a personal thing. We look at my hand size. I have a small hand, just a little bit Levoina is enough. Or we look at the standard, the koin's koimetz, the average koin or the largest koin. Mevia b'koim sushal koin. Since we learn the halacha, the shear of koimetz by Levoina from Minchas Chote, now the Minchas Chote was scooped by who? By the Kohen. It was part of the Avoida. Just as over there, it's measured using the hand of the Kohen, here as well, when it comes to the shear of Kohen, by a donation of Levoina, it needs to conform to that requirement, that shear. It's a standard shear. It's like a zayis, like a beitza. It's not personal. You can't use your small hand. Rabbi Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, he disagrees. V'afilu b'kohen tzabalim. You can even follow the small size Kohen of the owner. Who's donating the Levoina? It's a personal donation. And therefore, we follow his hand size. Continues the Gemara, Zav lo yifchais, we learned that if one donates for gold, at a minimum, it has to have a shear of a dinar Zav. Amar b'lazav u'shis katsura, provided that he mentioned the coin. I'm giving gold coins. We don't know which gold coins. Dinar Zav, darkainais, all kinds of gold coins. So at a minimum, he has to give a dinar zav. Av alimileis ketsura. But if he didn't make mention of coins, of forms, of stamps, something which has a tsura, maybe I feel it's sinura. Then he could bring even a small amount of gold, sufficient to form from it a tsinura, a little pipe, a little accessory used for the adjustments of the menorah wicks. So it has to have some sort of suitability, some sort of use in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't just give a nugget of gold. It has to be enough to create something useful. But you don't need a large amount, a dinar zav. Finally, we have the six remaining containers, shishal and adav. Question is, why so many? We have four pshatim. Chizkiya amar keneged shisha bati avos. We know that each day of the week, another family served. So each week there was a different mishmar. But Sunday, one family, beis av, Monday, another beis av, etc. We need a separate container for each family. Why? Because in those containers were contained the donations. Let's assume we're speaking about the leftover monies of karbanis. You take that money, you purchase oilois for Keita Mizbeach. The oil is burnt. The oilois, the hides, are given to the Kehanim. And as the Gemara Menacha says, this can create machlokes. Suppose Sunday was a busy day in the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody brought their karbanis. And the Mizbeach wasn't idle, in which case they didn't have to use any of this leftover money here for the oilois, Keita Mizbeach. Mizbeach was busy. Come Monday, it's a quiet day in the Mitzvah Midosh. The next family, which serves tomorrow, will say, well, let's keep the Mizbeach busy. Let's take out money from this fund, bring the oil on the Mizbeach, and keep the hides. The Sunday family is going to turn to them and say, well, what's going on? You're taking all this money for yourself. We didn't make any use of this fund. And the truth is, the Mizbeach was busy. And they had Nedorah, Nedavis, all kinds of Karbonis brought, and they also had something from that, because if a person burned oil, they got the hide. But they'll say, well, that's our mazel, it's our luck. We didn't actually make use of this public fund. And what right do you have to use so much money from this fund that we didn't have any benefit from? To avoid any machlekes, we made a separate container, one for Sunday, one for Monday, one for Tuesday. This way, the donor can decide into which one he wants to put his money. Now, the cash is, in either way, either case, money going to the Sunday container will not be used any longer this week. Right? Even if it's a Sunday container, it's going to be used next week Sunday. In which case, these people won't be around anymore. So what gain do they have? Apparently, the point is, we don't want you to have it. We won't have it, but we don't want you to have it. Therefore, to avoid any machlekes, they made a separate container, one per day. That's why they needed six. But Padya Omar, you have a different shot. Connected Shesh Behemoths. There are different types of animals and different donation levels. The Mishnah Menachah says a person donates for a par, has to bring a certain amount of money. So each type of animal requires a different donation amount. So we need six containers. One per animal type. If a person wants to donate to buy that animal for the Beis HaMikdash, he can put his money in each respective container. Keneged Shesh Behemoth, par, that was for the cow or for the bull, the eagle, a calf, a sawyer for an older goat, ayel for a ram, gdi for a young goat, utleh, a sheep. So that's what we have to have six. Shmuel Amar has a different approach. Keneged Shisha Karbonis. He learns that the Nedaba containers were meant for leftover monies. If a person bought a chatas, has leftover money, puts it in there. So you have six different categories in this context. We have leftover monies from the kinizavim and kinizavis, from those birds. We have leftover monies from the kini yoldis, the ish who gave birth, who brought a pair of birds, leftover money from that. We have leftovers from the chatois, from the hashamois, from the hamanochis. Asir's eifa, this was the kohen gadol's mincha. So each one had a separate kedusha, a different type of kedusha, and therefore had its own sheif. Rabbi Yechana had a different pshat, or Rabbi Yechana, alideisha, nadova meruba, since there was so much donation going on there. Ribula shafaris harbe, they had so many shafaris. We're concerned if there's only one container, the money will pile up, and the bottom layer will get tarnished and rusty, because you keep on adding more on top and removing from the top, and the bottom layer just sits there. Therefore, they distributed it, they had six shafaris, this way it gets aired out, and they can rotate to avoid the spoilage of the coins. So these are four pshatim to explain the six containers on the top. Continues the Gemara, Ksivu kechaloisim eviu lefnei hamelech v'yada. Now, lots of gerses in the Gemara. According to the Vilna Gaon, the Gemara is asking the following kasha. One pasuk indicates that Yehuda Kohen Gadol with the king placed a container, a pushka, for donations. So one pasuk describes the container being placed at the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash and was meant to be used to purchase clay sharis. We have another pasuk which seems to say that the container was placed near the Mizbeach and the content designated for Bedek HaBayis. So we have a stira. Was it placed by the Mizbeach or by the entranceway? Number two, was the money used for clay sharis or Bedek HaBayis? The Gemara will answer this theory. Reb Shimmer Bar Nach Moshev Rienus Amar, Shtei Nedava Sasa. He placed two containers. One was here, one was there. Tanit, Reb Shimon Davachas. It was actually one container. The Chsiv, Vayoymar Melech, Vayasu Aaron Echad, one Aaron, one container. Vayitnei Beich Ves Hashem, Vayikav Chor Bedalsoy. So this was Beich Hashem, Medem Mizbech. Vayod Chsiv, what about the other Pasuk? Which says that it was placed outside. Vayomer Melech, Vayav Yasu Oren Echav Etneu B'Shar Beis Hashem Chutza outside. Rav Chuna B'Pnei Atmeim. Initially, it was placed inside, but the king was concerned. He wanted to accommodate the Tmeim that they could donate as well. So he placed it outside Beis Hamidrash. So it began inside, then it was placed outside. So that answers the theory regarding location. Rav Chuna B'Shar Rav Yosef is coming to answer the theory regarding the use. What was it used for? Klei Shoris or Bedek HaBayis? We have a stira. He answers like this. Ach lo yaso beis Hashem. Sipa is kesem asmeres. You're not meant to make the use the money for sipa is kesem, for klisharis. Meant to be used for bedek habayis. Which tells you like this. Priority is given to bedek habayis. But perhaps once you accommodated bedek habayis, you have extra money, you can direct the extra funds for klisharis. So that's shot in the pasuk. Initially, it was designated for bedek habayis, and the leftover was used for klisharis. Hadron aloch perik yud gimel shayfaris. Okay, let's make a quick review. We discussed the 10 shulchanis and 10 menorahs built by Shlomo HaMelech. We discussed the 13 shayfaris and their respective purposes. We discussed the concern of Rabbi Yehuda regarding chatos hameisah. The rabbanon not concerned because of breira. We discussed the block of wood brought in the mizbeach. We discussed the levoina, which was a koymet at a minimum, and the reason why they needed 6 shayfaris l'nadava. Kol tov v'naslacha rabbah.